This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Street Knowledge, I am Chris Graham, and yesterday we talked UVA football in the context of admissions and issues related to getting potential quarterback Marvin Zanders admitted to school as a grad transfer. Lengthy discussion about the implications that may have on the future of UVA football. My thoughts are what they are. Today we're going to talk about a very much different direction, I guess. Quinn Blanding returning to Virginia along with Micah Kizer. I got to talk to Quinn last week at the ACC kickoff in Charlotte, and it was interesting having a discussion with him about that the give and take that he had in his own mind, and I guess maybe in engaging family, friends, teammates, as he was deciding last year in January whether or not to come back to UVA for his senior season. Micah Kizer, again, going through the same process. Two guys who were both first-team All-ACC performers on defense last year for a team that, you know, admittedly not, you know, certainly that good defensively overall. The unit ranking 12th in scoring defense, ranking 12th in total defense, 12th in pass defense. I mean, you just go down the list, 14th in pass defense efficiency. I mean, just, you know, not a good defensive unit last year. But two guys individually who were 1-2 in tackles in the ACC. Kizer was 1, Blanding 2. And, you know, specifically to Blanding, since he was the one I got to talk to at the kickoff last week, Virginia bringing two players, all 14 ACC schools bringing two players to the kickoff last week. Got to talk to Quinn and, you know, kind of dive into his mind a bit as to, you know, the decision, come back, go to the NFL. He's projected in the 2018 draft renderings at this very early stage. We haven't even started fall practice for the 2017 college season. But he's already, I've seen him listed as a high first-round pick. I've seen him listed as a late first-round pick, as low as a mid-second-round pick. And, yeah, so if a guy that's looked at that way would have gone this year, you have to think. I mean, I saw some early renderings last year that had him, at worst, a third-round pick. He was coming off an injury last year, so that could have limited him a bit. But the expectations are high for this young man. He was a top-10 national recruit coming out of high school. You know, one of the UVA's more heralded football recruits in the last 25 years. And he's played up to those expectations, certainly, at Virginia. And first-team All-ACC, along with Micah Kizer, heading into the preseason for both their senior seasons. And so I got to ask Quinn, you know, how close was it? You know, you had a lot of thinking to do. And he said it was 50-50. He admitted it was a 50-50 call. Some days he leaned towards going NFL. Some days he leaned staying. And eventually, just, of course, he decided to stay. That's why I got to talk to him last week. And that's why we're talking about him being a first-team All-ACC performer going into this year, et cetera, et cetera. But he did concede, again, that it was a tough decision, a tough call. And you might have seen the column I wrote this week on Augusta Free Press. And in the lead of that column, I mentioned that all along with both those guys, but it really particularly applies to Blanding, given the position he plays. Every time I think of a guy in college, football especially, basketball, I'm not so sure quite about that. Basketball is not quite the sport that's tough on the limbs and the head and everything else. But in football, man, if you've got a chance to go pro is always the answer for me. And the reason I say that is, there was a guy back in the late 1990s. If you're listening to this podcast, you know who I'm talking about before I even say his name, Anthony Poindexter. Poindexter, I still say, and I've covered UVA football and been a fan of UVA football even dating back further, but I've covered UVA football dating back to the mid-1990s. I've followed the program closely since my childhood, and that dates back to the early 1980s, the early years of the George Welch era. But just the guys that I've covered, I mean, gosh, I've been able to see and watch and analyze and interview guys like Tiki Barber, Thomas Jones, James Ferrier, Jamie Sharper, Matt Schaub, Heath Miller, gosh, going down the list, Chris Long, and I'm leaving lots of guys out, Chris Slade, Terry Kirby, Sean Moore, Herman Moore. I mean, all, you know, there's just a number of guys with NFL pedigrees that have come through the turnstiles there at Virginia, and I still say Poindexter is the best of them all as far as the college game goes. Poindexter, I mean, you remember he was in on the tackle in the Florida State game as a freshman in 1995. Couldn't get on the field. That team that defensive unit was a deep defensive unit. So he couldn't get on the field as natural position safety. The guy played linebacker that year. He was a linebacker in the nickel and dime for Virginia's defense in special situations, and he was on the field to help make the tackle along with Adrian Burnham. On that play to stop work done at the goal line to preserve that memorable win in 1995 against Florida State. Big picture still hanging in the media room there at Scott Stadium. And I say big, I mean oversized, more than life-size picture hanging in that room, showing that moment where you see Poindexter's hand in crossing the goal line back into the field of play, keeping that ball on the other side of pay dirt and preserving that UVA win. He got on the field because that's how good of a player he was. And then as a sophomore, junior, he had played himself into being a first-round pick, probably a high first-round pick even after his junior season. Decides to come back, and there were lots of reasons. He wanted to get his degree, which is admirable to say the least. And also that Virginia team, the 1998 Virginia team going into that season, there was talk. And I remember, boy, that was a loaded Virginia team. George Welch's last great team. There was talk about that Virginia team competing for potentially, certainly an ACC championship, maybe a national championship. And if you remember that season, it's been a long time. We're talking almost 20 years now. But Virginia memorably lost a game middle of that season. I want to say the Cavs started that season 5-0 or 6-0. Lost at Florida State, still had a 7-1 record, then lost the game at Georgia Tech, our nemesis back in the 1990s. They beat us in a couple of big games, knocked us out of championship pictures. Had a 38-17 lead late in the third quarter. Aaron Brooks fumbled, returned for a touchdown. That turned things around, 41-38 win. That score is just so memorable for lots of bad things between Georgia Tech and Virginia. A couple of memorable 41-38 losses to Georgia Tech that derailed championship seasons for Virginia. But Poindexter came back. Specifically, that was a big part of his decision to come back, was to be a part of that team and help that team compete for a championship. Well, I have to look this up, and I'm not going to do research on a live podcast here, a live to tape podcast here, but I'm not sure he even played in that particular game because he got hurt that year in the NC State game. That was a game in Charlottesville, making a tackle. NC State running back, I believe, couldn't tell you 20 years later who the running back was, but broke through the line. I still remember the play very vividly covering that game. He broke through the line, was kind of running downhill in the secondary, and Poindexter kind of planted, and the running back kind of did a juke move from left to right. Poindexter, as he planted, his foot kind of got caught in the turf a bit, and he tore his knee. And it was a sickening sight, and sickening sight when it happened because it meant his season was over. But then when reality sank in, it meant that his career was potentially damaged, and it turns out it was. A guy that was going to sign his name to a piece of paper with lots of zeros on the end of the dollar figure as a potential top five pick that year ends up being a seventh round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. He was on injured reserve his entire rookie year. He played 10 games his second year, mainly on special teams. That Ravens team went to and won a Super Bowl, but he didn't play in the playoffs that year for that team. And then his career was over 2 years. He played 10 games basically on special teams, and it was done. This was a guy that had all the potential to be a Ronnie Lott-type safety with a long career in the NFL, and he tore his knee in college, and, that's what happens sometimes. And so I think of Anthony Poindexter in that moment in Scott Stadium against NC State back in 1998 every time I think of a college football player who is waffling on whether or not it's time to go. Now, we could throw in Gerard Evans as an example, the Virginia Tech quarterback who, had a great year last year at Tech. The stories are that his family is in a bit of a needy situation, so after his junior season decides to go pro, doesn't even get drafted. Not quite talking in that level. I mean, don't roll the dice if you don't have, a chance to do something with it. And Evans was, even when he decided to throw his name out there, was a marginal late-round pick at best. But if you're a guy that's a first, second-round pick, third, fourth-round pick even, because there's seven rounds of the draft, you got a chance to make an NFL roster and sign your name to a piece of paper and make some money. It's hard to say, gosh, don't do that. I mean, as much as if you're listening to this podcast, you're likely a UVA football fan, and you want to see Quinn Blanding be out there. That's the best chance this team has to win some games this year. You know, you say that, and then I still say, man, I'm still rooting for the kid to make some money. I want to see this kid do something with in his chosen field. You know, the careers of athletes are so short as it is that every time he, you know, comes up next year and limping a little bit. I mean, in football's a sport that you know, you're going to have some nicks, you're going to have some issues that pop up. I'm gonna be worried about the kid. I want to see the kid do well. And when I was researching the column I wrote this week. And saw just how well regarded he is by NFL scouts. You know, man, I almost would put wraps on him right now. And a different factor than we have back in the Anthony Poindexter. I mean, you know, some of the same things pop up for Quinn Blanding as popped up for Anthony Poindexter. He talks about wanting to finish a degree out. That's an important thing, obviously, for anyone out there listening. I mean, a lot of UVA alums, I'm sure, are listening. Yes, it was important for us to get our degrees too. That's certainly, you know, you want to finish what you started. You know, in Quinn Blanding's case, he was recruited by Mike London as London's career at Virginia, as it turns out, was heading down the tubes. But, you know, he was part of that group. He and Anthony Brown, they were part of the group. They were both top 10 recruits nationally, and they were, you know, they were being counted upon to maybe turn things back around and get Virginia football winning again. You know, this is where it really frustrates me now as someone, again, who just roots for UVA guys to do well in life. You know, that guy and Micah Kizer as well are going to risk a lot this year. Let's just say it. They're going to risk a lot. Every time you go into a football field, you're risking something, whether it be a knee. In the case of Poindexter, you know, you can have some bad ankle injuries. You can have anything happen to your body. Now we know so much about head injuries and the impact that they can have on people's longevity. So every time you step onto a football field, something really bad can happen. It can limit – that could be your last play. I mean, every play literally could be your last play, and that's not exaggerating. I mean, again, guys who play basketball, guys who play baseball, yeah, they get injured, but not with the same regularity and incidence, high incidence rates as you see on a football field. So you're out there risking it, and, gosh, I don't know what they're risking it for. I mean, I'd love to commend both guys for saying, hey, we're going to see this through. We want to be a part of the turnaround. Unless they see something the rest of us don't, and the rest of us, including the diehards, certainly including writers and media who cover the ACC, we all once again had Virginia 7th and last in the Coastal Division, despite the fact that we're one of two teams in the Coastal that's got starting quarterback returning, Kurt Benkert, a guy who threw 21 touchdown passes last year. You know, so you got your quarterback back. You got two great defenders back, both of whom were first-team preseason defenders in the All-ACC voting that was announced this week. In spite of all that, this Virginia team maybe wins three games, maybe stretches it out and wins four. But, I mean, even if this team gets to 6-6, and I do not – I can't do the math right now and get to 6-6, but even if they do get to 6-6 – and you're playing in a military bowl or something like that. I mean, you know, for both Kizer and for Blanding to risk their career being on the field, you know, I mean, let's just do some quick math. There's 12 regular season games. Your average opponent runs, you know, 80 plays a game, maybe 90 plays a game. So there's around 1,000 plays if you play the whole season, if you play every snap. These are two guys who are on the field. Unless they're hurt, they're on the field every snap. They're not changed in and out with different units. And Kizer's out there at linebacker on run plays, on short yardage, on pass plays, on third and longs. Certainly Blanding is as well. He's quarterback of the defense. So, you know, you're talking about 1,000 plays, which is 1,000 opportunities for something to go wrong. And to play for a team that, I mean, geez, the absolute. I mean, this is going beyond anything that anyone could foresee for this team. But going 6-6, I mean, you know. So I guess I'll say in the end, I'll commend them for seeing it through. You know, they got recruited to come to Virginia. They came to Virginia. They wanna see it through. They'll get their degrees. I assume that they're on track to graduate and. You know, and they'll try to be part of the turnaround at Virginia. But man, oh man, I guess I've come around on this too over the years. I mean, you know, the fan in you wants to see guys play all 4 years. You want to see them. The alum wants to see guys get their degrees and all this fun stuff. And You know, for me, I mean, you can always go back and get your degree, especially when you have a chance in your career to do something and make money doing it. I want to admire them. And I guess, you know, now that we've kind of covered all those angles, you want to say, let's now root for the best case scenario. Let's see this team surprise some people. That would include all of us listening to this podcast. And go even beyond 6-6. Let's see this team have a couple upsets, win 7-8 games, and justify the gamble that those two guys are putting in, because you know that's a gamble. It's a big gamble. So we'll kind of wrap that discussion up. And you know, UVA football. Let's see. This is July 20th as we're recording this podcast. Still no word on when we'll have opportunity to interview more players. Last year, it was the first practice of the fall camp. I think that's coming up late next week, so we'll see. Still awaiting word from the folks at UVA Media Relations as to when we'll be able to head over there and you know, capture some more players. At the ACC kickoff, again, we got two players. We got Kurt, in UVA's case, got Kurt Binkert and Quinn Blanding, but... you know, I'd love to talk to some of the other guys out there. Love to talk to Micah Kaiser, kind of get his thoughts on his return. You know, talk to Brown as well. Get a sense of, you know, I voted for him for the All-ACC team. I haven't seen how many votes he got. I should look and see, because I'll probably be one of the single digits that voted for him. But I saw him have a great bounce back year last year. I'm really expecting a lot out of Brown this year on the defensive line. I think... you know, the way he was used last year was even tough for him. He was used inside a lot. His skill set now seems to be more on the end. That's where we were voting him last week in all ACC voting. He was placed with the other defensive ends, which I guess is an indication that UVA is planning to use him more on the end this year. I'd love to see, you know, if he plays the way he played at stretches last year, especially second half of the season, I think you'll see UVA's defense improve. If you got him on the line creating havoc, you've got Micah Kaiser kind of patrolling the middle of the field and Blanding back there calling the signals with his skill set, both as a ball hawk on balls in the air, and he's a great run stopper from that safety position. I think you'll see a defense that, well, there's really nothing they can do but improve. But, you know, you get some improvement out of that defense and, you know, something out of the offense. The offense is going to have its struggles, certainly, at Virginia. If anything happens to Kurt, the redshirt senior grad transfer quarterback in his second year as a starter, it's a bit thin behind him. A couple freshmen backing him up, with that loss of Marvin Zanders, who was would have been a junior this year and with some experience at Mizzou. Let's assume that Binkert stays healthy. There's still issues with the offensive line. Lots of flux there. You lose Taquan Mazzell. You lose Albert Reed back in the backfield. So you lose your top two running backs. You know, you still got some receivers. You got Lavroni. You got Dowling out there at receiver. But, you know, you lost some talent out there as well. You got Olamide Zaccheaus, who can stretch the field. But can you block long enough? Can you get a running game going to keep the pressure off Binkert? Now, on the other side, Binkert this year ostensibly comes in as close to 100% healthy as he possibly can. Last year, he was still coming off knee surgery. I know, as someone who had ACL surgery myself back now 25-plus years ago, that first year after ACL surgery is a very tentative year. It's human nature to be a little afraid of getting hit, to be honest, you know, to hit being hit or even just making a hard cut with nobody around you. And so, you know, Virginia would love the system. Robert and I, his offensive system he brought with him from BYU, he'd love to have more read option in that offense. Binkert's knee being healthy will make that possible. Also, his shoulder. His left shoulder got hurt in that UConn game last year, third game of the season. And so, you know, you had a guy with a banged-up shoulder, a guy with a banged-up leg. And the read option game was really limited. They still went a lot of shotgun with the snaps last year. But teams realized pretty quickly, if you remember back last year, Virginia started 0-3, had a modest two-game winning streak midseason, and then lost their last seven games. Teams realized after that big win down at Duke that hey, they're not really running a read option anymore. It's basically just a shotgun offense with a couple of running backs flanking him, and you know, so they could kind of just pin their ears back. And now, you know, you got a guy back there, Binkert. I mean, one thing about him when he was healthy at ECU, before his transfer, he was a guy who was known for his wheels. So you'll see, hopefully, I mean, you know, if you're a Virginia fan, you hope that you'll see the offense, the playbook will be a little more utilized this year. You know, you won't just be, you know, when you're running a read option offense without a quarterback who can run, you're basically running third down plays an awful lot. You know, you run a lot of draws, you know, out of that shotgun, and you know, you're not getting guys to bite on those handoffs, and the way you kind of saw that in the numbers last year, Mizell's damage that he did was out of the back foot as a receiver. Reed had some solid games as a running back, but again, you're doing a lot of draw plays and handoffs that aren't being respected in the zone read game when there's no thought that a quarterback is going to take off with the ball. So it just makes it a lot harder to run your offense the way you want to. That factored in with line issues, depth issues at the line, really made things hard for Virginia down the stretch last year. But again, okay, everybody's 0-0 at this stage. Binkert's healthy. You got to find some guys to replace Reed and Mizell at running back, but you know, you've got a healthy quarterback who can utilize his running back weapons more. You've got some experience at least coming in, a couple grad transfers on the line that will give you at least some age, if nothing else, on the line. So if they can block long enough, if Virginia can develop a running game enough to keep the pressure off Binkert, you know, they got some weapons at receiver. They can move the ball down the field some. If Brown and Kaiser and Blanding can anchor the three depths of the defense, you know, stranger things have happened, I guess, than saying Virginia can have a decent year this year. But, I foresee three, at most four wins for this team this year. And then we'll see where we go into year three. Podcast coming up after this. We're going to kind of spread our focus out to more general ACC talk. We're still kind of feeding off of that ACC kickoff last week. We'll cover the quarterback carousel in the Coastal Division. I mentioned that Virginia is one of two teams in the Coastal that has a returning quarterback, Duke being the other. Funny enough, Duke picked sixth, Virginia finished seventh in the Coastal, despite the fact they got their quarterbacks back. So we'll talk about the other five programs in the Coastal and how they're quarterback situations are developing as everyone's getting ready for the start of practice at the end of next week. We'll talk about the ACC's growth in general. You know, I'm someone who's covered these ACC kickoff events for a number of years now, and the mood has definitely improved in the last couple of years over what it was when we first started going about 10, 12 years ago, I guess, when all the talk was, hey, we've made this a football conference and we can't win games. What's going on here? The hardware that greeted us at the top of the escalators this week or last week at the Westin Hotel in Charlotte. You see a Heisman Trophy, you see a national championship trophy, and you realize, hey, we're with the big boys now. So we'll talk about that in a podcast. We'll talk about the Atlantic Division in general. You know, the Coastal's wide open. Miami was picked by the writers to be the favorite this year, but I think any of five teams could win the Coastal this year. You go over to the Atlantic Division, you've got the defending national champions Clemson, you got a team in Florida State that's a consensus top two or three preseason this year. They open with Alabama, so we'll see how that works out. They could either springboard themselves towards a really ballyhooed run at a playoff berth, or they could have to lick their chops and lick their wounds a bit and kind of play themselves back in later. But you've got Louisville with the Heisman Trophy quarterback coming back. Second time in 4 years the ACC's had a Heisman Trophy winner come back for another season. So you got Louisville, you got Clemson, you got Florida State, you've got an improving NC State team, you've got the wild cards that are Syracuse, Wake Forest, and Boston College, all of them getting better. You know, they're all getting better. I don't really see a weak link over there in that Atlantic Division. So we'll talk about that. And then, you know, maybe by some point we'll have some some more opportunity to talk to the UVA kids more in depth. But just still a lot of college football to keep us occupied here on Street Knowledge. But for now, we're going to take a break, and I want to thank you for listening. Please feel free to comment, AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. That email address is plastered all over the AugustaFreePress.com website. So if you didn't hear me right when I just said it now, just go to AugustaFreePress.com, click on a story, click on a contact page, whatever. You can find my email address. You can also tweet me. You can follow at AugFreePress. Facebook, I mean, there's a ton of ways to get in touch. And I'd love to hear what you think. I got some nice emails this week from some fans. Been interacting that way. We've had some comments on Twitter and Facebook to jump into, so, and on our website. So lots of ways to engage. And love hearing from folks about what you're thinking. And then, you know, kind of helps me know what to talk about next time. Thank you for listening. And everyone, please have a safe time. And we'll talk to you again soon.